Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming tonight. And I would like to thank Pastor for allowing me to preach tonight, and please continue in prayer for them as they travel this week. And we are in Psalm 44. A couple of weeks ago, we had a teen activity, and the game we played was the catchphrase game. Some of you are familiar with this game. It's a game of two teams, and one player will describe the word or phrase displayed in the disc, and the rest of the team members will guess it, and then you pass it along for the other team to do the same. When it was my turn, the phrase that was displayed on that disc was "on the fence." The thought that came to my mind is something that's on the fence. So I always see the squirrel in our backyard that's on the fence. So I started describing it like that with the squirrel. And then, but I haven't been able to finish. I ran out of time. Everyone got confused. Then Ella and James explained to me the meaning of "on the fence." And I told them I didn't know that's in an American idiom. So at that moment, I felt embarrassed and ashamed. That's one of my many of my embarrassing moments. You know. The title of the sermon is, "It is a Shame to be Confused." It is a shame to be confused. I'm sure some of you had an embarrassing moment because of confusion. Our verse for tonight is on verse 15. Verse 15, it says, "My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me." There are many beliefs and practices that people think it's right and true, and not knowing that it's a shame to do those things or be in that position. Being confused can lead to wrong actions and to an embarrassing situation or shame. Confusion is a negative thing and is something we're not proud of. And God doesn't want us to be confused. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You can leave Psalm 44 and put a bookmark in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. God gave us the Bible, His words, His instructions for us to avoid confusion and shame. Amen. There are shameful things before His eyes that are perfectly fine in the eyes of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." God is specific in keeping things decent and in order. If God is not the author of confusion, then who is? Satan is the father of lies, and lies creates confusion. In Revelation 12, verse 9, you don't have to turn there. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angel were cast out with him." Please turn to Psalm 114. Satan is the deceiver and the father of lies. As a result, the whole world are in a state of confusion. Uncertainties remain in the mind and hearts of the people. Wherever we ask the question, "Are you 100% sure you're on your way to heaven?" Majority will answer, "I'm not sure. I don't know." It is in God and His word that we can be certain and be sure there is nothing that is unclear or confusing. Psalm 111, verse 7, some of you are familiar with this. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Please turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, the first book. All his commandments are sure. It is the lack of focus and not fully grounded to his words for man to be confused. When we lack on this, Satan can take this advantage and easily confuse us because he is very subtle. Once we're confused, we will definitely do the opposite of God's will, and shame will cover us. Genesis chapter 2 is the story of creation, and the very first simple and clear instruction given to man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Please turn to the next chapter, chapter 3. God didn't just give them the instruction, but also gave the reason why to avoid it. It was a simple instruction. You can eat everything except one. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. At this point, God's instruction was still clear on Eve's mind. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, Satan tried a second time, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. At this time, Eve was, I think, already confused and totally forgot everything what God said. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Please turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Satan beguiled or trick Adam and Eve, and they did the opposite of God's instruction. And shame caused them to hide from God. When we are not paying attention to the instruction, we will easily get confused and most likely disregard the most important things. Joshua 22, verse 5 says, you don't have to tender, but take diligent heed. Pay attention. Pay closely attention. But take diligent heed to the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. What are the common confusions that leads to shame? The first common confusion in our spiritual life that leads to shame is in the aspects of salvation. You know, confusion in salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 11, For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Anyone that's not a believer of Jesus Christ will be found guilty or ashamed. Majority of the people believes that being good will take them to heaven and thinking good deeds will counteract the wrong deeds in the past. Isaiah 64 verse 6, you don't have to turn there, but it says, but we are all as unclean thing and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. People think that God will be impressed with their good deeds in regards to salvation. It is sad to know that their confusion is taking them to hell and they don't even realize it. The second confusion is, a common confusion is in the appearance. God made it clear that there should be a distinction between man and a woman when it comes to the appearance. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Skip to verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for her a covering. God is clear that a man having a long hair and a woman with a short hair is a shame. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Some people may think that Donald Trump's hair is long or weird, maybe. I don't know why I use Donald Trump, but I'm not a political person, but it just came to my mind. Yeah. But if you compare Donald Trump with Fabio, I don't know, some of you are familiar with Fabio. Again, he's the, you know, I'm familiar with him during my generation. When you compare them, you would say Donald Trump's hair is short compared to Fabio. Let's say you're standing behind Fabio, Melania Trump, Donald Trump, and Joyce Meyer. Many would be confused. It's a shame for Fabio to have a long hair. And a shame for Joyce Meyer to have a short hair. Amen. Although God did not specify the length of a man's hair or a woman's hair, if it brings confusion, it's a shame. And confusion is not of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, you don't have to turn there. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Amen. Another confusion in the appearance is in our garments or clothing. It is a shame for a woman to wear pants because it creates confusion. Pants or breeches pertains to a man's garments. Gender should be simply identified by the hair and the clothing a person wears. Switching this simple distinction creates confusion. And in the eyes of God, these are abomination, disgraceful and shameful. Another common confusion is confusion in the role or position in the house of God. Majority of churches today does not practice this role or position. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. churches today have allowed women preachers like Joyce Meyer and Paula White. Women preachers are continuously walking in shame for refusing their role and position. Please turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you would. A church is a congregation, as Pastor Jimenez explained this morning. At this moment, as we are gathered together, we are considered a church, the body of Christ. During the service, being gathered together, the Bible is specific on the role of the women to be silent. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. A woman saying amen is considered speaking, and this is not permitted. There was a time when we had a visitor that the lady would speak during the service and would say amen loudly. And I believe many of us would think about this verse. It is a shame for women to speak in a church. To be honest, I was thinking of this verse when she was continuously saying amen. Her voice echoed in the whole auditorium because majority of the men were silent. If the role of the women to be silent in the church, men's role in the church is to speak. Amen. I was ashamed because I'm guilty of not exercising my role or position. If all the men were exercising the role to speak, do you think her voice will be heard or to be recognized by the person on the other corner of the auditorium? No. The role of the man is to speak. Say amen. Amen. What is amen? Amen means truth. Verily, let it be so. It is also used to acknowledge that you understand what was conveyed. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. When God made his law, he doesn't need anyone to approve it to become a law. God's law will come to pass whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not. When the law of God was proclaimed before the people, the required response means that they understand it well. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 15, as Moses is preaching the word of God and the law. Verse 15 says, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. It says, anyone that makes a graven image is cursed. Do you understand? Amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, amen. And they went on through all the commandments. Skip to verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. Do you understand? Amen. Understood. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The role of a man is to speak in the church and say, amen. It's true. Amen. Let it be so. Amen. Understood. Let's say you and your wife are going on a trip, and the kids will be left in the house, and you prepared a list of tasks and instructions for each kid. And after you explained every instructions thoroughly, each one of them left the room one by one saying nothing, not a word, not a single word. You might be asking yourself, did they understand every word I said? You would expect them to say, yes, Dad, or understood, or don't worry, I know what to do. You would expect an acknowledgement, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth because so much confusion is going on the church. There are preachers that are preaching in an unknown tongues or other language. And Paul explained that if this is so, there should be an interpreter for everyone to understand and be edified. He also explained the disadvantage of preaching in other language. So he discouraged them in this type of preaching. He also explained that women are not allowed to preach or speak during the service. Paul listed the things to keep them in order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Paul is saying, any man that is preaching, studying God's word, and teaching, or in short, spiritual, should acknowledge and affirm that everything that I wrote to you are the instructions and the commandments of God. Amen. Acknowledge my letter that you understand, and all of these are commandments of God. In a biblical church setting, any man that are spiritual, having the knowledge of the word of God, should acknowledge and affirm that the preaching is true and we clearly understand what was conveyed, because God expects us to take action on the preaching that we've heard. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 22, you don't have to turn there. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Even if the preaching is stepping on our toes and ripping our face off, we are to say amen. Amen. And our amen means we understand that we are wrong on this. And we acknowledge it, that we have to make it right. We shouldn't be saying amen, amen, and not doing it. The next confusion might be sensitive to some. Some will not agree, probably. Another common confusion is in the role or position in the home. What is the role of a man in the home according to God? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. This verse has two parts. The first one is, but if any is referring to any man, provided not his own, meaning his own family as a son, not his own family as a father. The son is responsible to provide for his own family if his father passed away, because providing for his own family is a man's responsibility. Amen. Go back to verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn to show piety at home and to requite or repay their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. The concept of placing the elderly parents in a home care facilities is not biblical. Never place your elderly parents in a home care facilities. Or should I say home don't care facilities. There are facilities that the elderly are treated badly. The children are responsible to provide for their parents. Many young men today are escaping these responsibilities and living in the ideology of you only live once, or YOLO. A view that one should make the most of the present moment without worrying about the future. It implies that one should enjoy life to the fullest, to its fullest, even if it means heavy risk. Yes, God wants us to give all our cares to Him, but He also requires us to plan ahead. Your future position and role, young man, in the home is to be the provider of your family. Please go back to verse 8. Verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than infidel. This is the second part. Especially his own house, meaning a married man with his own children. This is your own household. The father, the husband, is the provider. If the man is not providing for the needs of his wife and his children, he have denied the Christian faith and is worse. This is God's word, not mine. Not providing is worse than an infidel or worse than an unbeliever. Why is it worse than an unbeliever? Many unbelievers never read or know about the teachings of God. But they know and they are doing the responsibility to provide for his family. There are unbelievers that also take care of their elderly parents, even though they never heard or learned about the teachings of 1 Timothy. And yet they are doing it, and that is good and acceptable before God. And yet Christians, believers who wear the teachings of God are ignoring and refusing to fulfill this responsibility. If their children were asked, who's working to provide for your needs? If they answer both or my mom, then there's confusion in the role in the home. Another reason why God considers this as worse, because it promotes hypocrisy. Isn't that when we go out, we testify to people about God and His words are true, and we profess before them that we believe everything in the Bible. And yet when it comes to His will and His commandments, we ignore and refuse them. If new believers hear this scripture preached, they will be confused. It must be okay to disobey. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Our children are also watching us. They hear the preaching, they read the word of God, and yet when they look at the role of the parents, it doesn't match. Whatever we do today will affect them in the future. If we want our children to follow God's way, it should start with us and be a role model. There is a saying, action speaks louder than words. In the Old Testament stories, you'll often see this phrase when referring to the son, and walk the ways of his father over and over again. We have to be aware of everything we do and the roles that we portray before their eyes, because our children will walk in our footsteps. Another reason why God considers not being a provider is worse because we are created in the image of God. And one of his traits is being a provider. In Genesis 22, verse 14, you don't have to turn there. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. I'm not going to the Hebrew word because I don't know the Hebrew language, but the context of the story is because Abraham was found faithful, God provided him a ram for an offering instead of his son Isaac. As God's sons, we should always walk as our Heavenly Father, the provider. Now, what is the role of a woman according to God? Look at verse 14. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. What is God's will for the younger women? Being married, being a mother, and a guide. It is clear that it's not God's will for a woman to be the provider. The virtuous woman was skillful and able to add income by selling her good quality merchandise on the side while guiding the house. Maybe some of you have already questions and scenarios in the back of your head. What about this and what if? Let's read this again. I, this is God, not me, will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. This is a clear and simple statement. And many are yet confused. What if I'm a single lady? I'm no longer under the responsibility of my parents. I've already taken the steps to independence. First of all, dads, you are responsible for your daughter until she gets married. Your daughter should always be dependent to you. Letting them go alone in the world when they reach 18 years old is not biblical and not safe. Even for your sons. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, you don't have to turn there. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It's clear you leave your parents and cleave to your spouse. There is no wandering around. If you're already in that situation, and if your parents are willing to take the responsibility again, then go back to your parents. Don't live alone and be tempted to sin. I've seen a lot of single ladies went back to their parents because they lost their job, increase of rent cost, and the opportunity to work remotely during the pandemic. And the parents received them with an open arms. And these are unbelievers. But if it doesn't happen, your goal is to be married. And then follow 1 Timothy 5:14. Please turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus chapter 2. What if my children are grown-ups and they left the house and started their own family? Can I go to work then? Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise. At this point, the aged women have a lighter responsibilities. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accuser, not given too much wine. What should be their purpose now? Teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. Chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Again, working in a secular job is not God's will for a woman. The aged woman has the same responsibility and role as a guide, a teacher to the young mothers in the church, and not as a talebearer or a gossiper, but a teacher of good things. Aged women should be a role model for young mothers. A good servant in the church, a helping hand to those young mothers that are burdened. A woman that is faithfully serving in the church will reap great benefits. If she's 60 years old or older and becomes a widow or incapable of supporting herself, if she has a good report, she will be provided by the church in the absence of her children or nephews. God's will and plan for a woman is such a beautiful thing. Men around her, when she becomes as a child, her father provides for her. When she becomes a wife, her husband provides for her. When she becomes a widow, her children provide for her. It is such a beautiful plan by God. And God added a safety net. The church provides for her. This is contrary to the feminist movement. Don't be fooled by the world's philosophy towards women. Their philosophy doesn't empower women, but rather enslaves them. What kind of empowerment when you're providing for your husband and children? And when you become old, you'll be left alone in a home care facilities and be treated without dignity and without love and care. There are some that care enough if you still be able to pay them. This is reaping and sowing. Parents leave their children in the public schools or daycare facilities. And when the children are old, they leave their elderly parents in home care facilities. Please turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. There were facilities that were exposed on how they badly treated the elderly parents. Is this what we want to become? Or follow God's will and plan and be praised and treated with love and honor? Don't be confused by this empowered women philosophy, but rather focus on how to be a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. This is not to, you know, offend you or something. This is for the future women, young women, and men. If you are in this situation, just make up to it. You know, if you can fix everything to align to God's will, then do it. The world has made it difficult to have a decent life with one income. But it's possible. Satan's plan is to take all the mothers away from the home and take all the children into the forcible indoctrination institution. So he can twist the minds and confuse these children. Our job and responsibility, fathers, husband, is to keep our wives and children safe in the home. Amen. Keep them safe physically, mentally, and spiritually. We were in this predicament at one point. Me and my family were confused in the aspect of salvation, confused in the appearance, and confused in the role or position. My wife and my daughter used to wear pants. My daughter used to train and compete in soccer tournaments. Then she heard and learned the right teachings and the will of God for her. She decided to stop playing soccer and started wearing skirts as well. My wife used to work, and through the preaching of Pastor Jimenez and Pastor Anderson, that preaching made us change these things and align our positions according to God's will. Amen. We are grateful to the pastors and preachers that doesn't hold back preaching the truth and shining the light on our path. Amen. Please turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. What is the common reason Christians are having difficulty following the will of God? Fear. How can we set things in order and be in the right position? By faith. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1, you don't have to turn there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We fear the things not seen. What if this? What if that? But faith proves the things not seen. The fear that we have is the one that's hindering our faith. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. This is a story on Jesus. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. The Almighty God that controls the weather and the universe is with us always. Verse 40, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Please turn to Isaiah 54. This will be the last verse for tonight. Isaiah 54. In the absence of faith, fear is present instantly. They don't come along side by side. We have to purposely walk by faith. Amen. Isaiah 54, verse 4. Fear not, or have faith. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded or confused. For thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Taking a leap of faith eliminates fear. A leap of faith is the act of believing in or accepting something outside the boundaries of reason. We can have a million of reasons not to obey the will of God, but faith is the only one reason we should follow his will. Faith in God's words, faith that God has a better plan for us. Without faith, it is impossible to please him because we would be doing the opposite of his will. Jesus said to his disciples, how is it that ye have no faith? Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today, and thank you, Lord, for this church, for your people, and thank you, Lord, for allowing me to preach. And I pray, Lord, that you keep Pastor and his family safe as they travel, and help us, Lord, to take heed to your words and to your instructions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.